May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Jesus loves me, this I know. Not just because the Bible tells me so, but thank God it does, right? And again, in Ephesians chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to look at that just for a second. Ephesians chapter 3 says this remarkable scripture. You know, we're always praying for and looking for the deep things and how to get to where we're wanting to go. But if the fullness of God is what we're after, and I don't think you could describe personal revival better than that. It says in Ephesians chapter 19 that the conclusion is the fullness of God, but the beginning in verse 17 is so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and that you being rooted and grounded in love. Will be able to comprehend the love of God, the height and the depth and the length and width, so that you can be filled with the fullness of God. And so the whole issue, if you're going to be filled with the fullness of God, though it can be reinforced and cultivated by people laying hands on you and having those kind of things happen, I'm for all of it. But in the end, the deeper your root system goes into the love of God and the healthier your root system goes in the love of God, you're going to experience the fullness of God in your life. Again, we've said these things lately, Galatians 5, 6. The Christian life is to be lived by faith, but faith works through love. And to the degree that you're rooted in love is the degree to which you'll walk in faith and therefore experience the fullness of God. So I just want to share a little simple thing. In light of that, I just reread an old sort of a funny saying again today, that what you're rooted in determines what your fruit is. What your root is what your fruit's going to be. And one of the scriptures that declares that is that, see, I think the highest level of Christ-likeness is not just signs and wonders, holiness, but the highest level of all those things is when we start walking in love. When we're loving God with all of our heart, because that's the first and great commandment. He didn't say, the first thing I want you to do is go heal the sick and raise the dead. He said, love me. Because everything else is an expression of that. We long to see the sick healed and people ministered to because of the love of God. That's what Paul said. The love of God controlled him and the actions and the things that he did. Holiness is about loving him. That not only am I the pearl of great price to him, he's now become the pearl of great price to me. And I treasure him in an exclusive kind of way. In Song of Solomon, which is my favorite book in the Bible, that I've been teaching for a long time, don't understand hardly any of it, but I like it a lot. In the first part of the Song of Solomon just expresses her desire to go to a new place, to not just be like just a regular church person, to not just be a signed up Christian, to be a radically surrendered lover of God, to pursue Christ-likeness, to pursue the heights. And so there's this, the beginning of that journey and all that's going on there, and yet there's nothing said by Solomon, who represents the bridegroom Christ, until you get down to verse 9. If you get the devotionals, you've been reading this, but I just am captivated by this. Verse 9 in the Song of Solomon is the first time he talks back in response to the choice that she's made to go to a higher place in him. And he says this, to me, my love, and then he goes on and says these things. And what blows me away about that is that she, since this new decision, you know, if you're from a Baptist background, since that altar rail decision that happened last night of the week-long revival, to just go higher in him, to become someone who's going to be a lovesick dwelling place where his life can be on full display. And the first thing he says to her isn't a result of having made that decision, she's done some great act of service. We have no record of any kind of act of service or any kind of performance. Just a decision, just a yes in her heart and a longing for something that he longed for her. And yet we often think that God loves us better. He just likes us more when we do stuff for him. And we do that to people in church. It's just sad. Because the church has got to go on. And we think that we exist so that the church goes on. The church exists for us. See, other is different. But having not done one act of service, his first thing that comes out of her mouth, as a matter of fact, she's discovering some things like, I'm dark, but I'm lovely. There's some imperfections and weaknesses in me. Now that I'm pursuing you and I'm going deeper, I'm seeing some things I don't like. But I know you still love me. I can sense your love for me. And in that pursuit, his first response to her is that, I call you my love. That's just an amazing thing to me. Because God doesn't love me because I perform. He can't love me more because I do more. He cannot love me less because I do less. He may be displeased with my actions, but he can't love me less because he is love. That's who he is. It doesn't go up and down. It's just who he is. He can't help himself. And for us, he set his love on us in real particular ways, real specific ways in terms of his heart for us. So I was thinking this morning, I thought about, you know, I've lived long enough to hear this said many times. When we get near Christmas time, somebody will be like going, I don't know what to give him. He has everything. You know, that they don't need anything. Or I don't know what to give her. She has everything. So we end up getting some kind of goofy thing we order online or because they have everything. And, you know, what would that person desire? And then I asked this question. I said, Lord, what do you desire? I mean, if anybody has everything, you got everything, right? I mean, you got everything. I mean, you don't really need anything. But the most remarkable place in all of Scripture says this. I think it's the DNA of all Scripture. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Now, I know that sounds so simple. You, those of you who've been around CTK for a while, that's not new news to you. But I just have been contemplating that thought again and kind of like thinking about what that says. Lord, I am yours. I am my beloved's. And the one thing he desires, he's chosen to desire, he's chosen to need, is me. I'm the one thing in all the earth that he really desires. That's incredible. And what God's done is use that statement, and I've been teaching that for 30-something years, to just strengthen my root system. Because in our pursuit of him, we don't always get it right, do we? We don't always love him back. And in that place, the enemy tries to stop us in our tracks and bring us into despair. You know, you make that decision at the altar rail on Friday at the end of the revival service. I'm going after it with all my heart, and then next Tuesday you blow it, and the enemy comes along. What's the point? You've made that promise so many times. And so what we sense is, you know, how disappointed he is in me, and what's the use? It's kind of like being on a diet, and you blow it, and you go, well, I'll just eat everything I want to, because what's the point? And then the Lord's standing there going, no, my desire is for you. You are mine. And your failure doesn't stop me from desiring you above everything else. I know he loves the whole world, but he desires me as if I was the only person in the world. He desires my presence. He desires for me to receive and grow in confidence in his love. He desires for me to love him back. He thirsts from the cross. I thirst for my love, for me to receive his love and for my love. And that just is this dominating thing. I was just, I talked to somebody on the phone. I don't usually answer the phone in the mornings, but somebody who never calls me, I thought, well, I better answer because I do my prayer time. And I said, you sound like you have sinuses. I said, I do have sinuses, but I've just spent 3.5 hours weeping, which doesn't help my sinuses. But not because I was like sad, because I'm just blown away that God says, the God who has everything says, but there's the one thing I'd really desire above everything else. The only thing I really, really desire. I mean, we think, well, God desires world peace. No, the one thing God really desires is me. Is me. And that's a truth every day. Every day my life is becoming more and more dominated by that reality, like that presence, that voice, that you desire me today. You are thirsting for me today. That's just extraordinary. I'll tell you a real quick story. I'm probably going a little long. I read this story. It's a cute story and powerful story. It's a guy who just had a heart for the Lord, and God really taught him some things about the love of God. And his little girl was like 5 or 6 years old, and he was, this is the guy who wrote the song Dance With Me, Chris Dupree. And he was singing the song Streets of Gold, you know that one, Dance on the Streets of Gold? And this little girl came in and started dancing, and then went on and put on like her dance clothes. She could dance really good, and it just blew him away and just caused him to weep before the Lord. And then the same little girl came and got in his lap and just said, Dad, I want to talk to you. So she got in his lap and started talking to him. Within like 2 minutes, she fell asleep. He never got the conversation, whatever it was he was going to talk about. But what he noticed was her toes and how amazing her toes were. He said, she got these beautiful toes. And he brought his wife, she's got the most beautiful toes. 5 years later, he's feeling guilty because he's not praying enough. So he promises God for the 4 millionth time, I'm praying more. So he got up really like 4 o'clock in the morning, slipped on the side of his bed, knelt down to pray, and 30 minutes later, he woke up to drool everywhere, and he had slept through the whole thing. He thought, oh God, I'm so sorry. And the Lord said, I love your toes. He said, I just desire you. And the fact that you got up and slept because you wanted to be with me, I just love your toes. Just a single glance ravishes his heart. And yet, how much time do we spend feeling guilty because we don't do enough? The Lord said, I just love that you want to. Just a single glance. Because you see, above everything else on the earth, I desire you. Not what you do for me, but I just desire you. That's just amazing to me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.